to another episode of Adam's Corner. On this week's episode, it's time for that monthly Blu-ray show that we do, where we take care of all of the, or recap, I should say, recap all of the previous month's Blu-ray and 4K disc releases as they were. And on this episode, I'm joined again by my son, Nicholas Long, who has joined me previously. It's been 3 months, I can't believe it, since you were last on, and this is, well, time is flying. And then before that, it was another 3 months, so it looks like, 3 months, and it's your turn at bat. So.
Yeah, glad to be back. I guess it was, we were talking about December last time, yeah.
Yes, we were.
That would be 3 months, so, but glad to be back, and always have fun with these, so, yeah. Glad that you choose to invite me.
Well, I always enjoy having you on, and I've been doing a rotating roster of guest co-hosts on the Blu-ray shows, so it's I've been doing like a different one. About every 3 months, I bring people back, so it was kind of your turn, I guess. Cause but I've had Paige Schechter, of course, and Doug Davidson has been a guest. He's with the North Carolina Film Critics and the Southeastern Film Critics, and he has his own website, Elements of Madness, as well. But he'll probably be joining us here in a couple of months, and I think we might have Paige back next month if she'll do it. Hopefully she will. So anyway, the releases have kind of slowed down a little bit from the last time we talked. Not quite as many as we had in December.
Yeah, been a light month for sure.
Yeah, definitely a little light, but that doesn't mean there's not some titles worth talking about, I would say. And so we'll just go ahead and get right to it and start with a Paramount release of The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. And that has been issued in a standard 4K edition. Now, previously this was released as part of the Paramount Presents line of titles. And it was, I was able to get a review copy of the previous edition. It looks great. And if you're a fan of the movie, you certainly would want to have it. It's one of the better John Wayne Westerns. And I think, he was later paired with Jimmy Stewart in another film that we'll talk about later on in this episode, because it was also released this month. But I think this was maybe their first pairing. I can't remember. For sure, and I might be wrong on that. If I am, well, I'm sorry about that, but but I think it was their first pairing, and it's a good Western, and Lee Marvin is also in this, and he plays the villain doing what he did best. He was always good and dependable and those sorts of things. So yeah, it's really it's a little longish. I think it's like 2 hours 9 minutes or something, but anyway, it's a good film. I'm glad that it's back in print. So, Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. I think there were just a few featurettes on that other release, and they've just been carried over from what I remember. So anyway, moving along to the 1979 film Over the Edge, which has been released by as part of the Shout Select line of titles. Now, this previously issued by Arrow a couple of years ago, but only in the UK. So I guess they didn't have the licensing for a U.S. edition of it. But thankfully, Shout Factory has rectified that. Over the Edge is a really interesting film, pretty tense. It's about teenagers on the rampage. There's a new housing development coming up, and these teenagers are just doing all sorts of things that teenagers of the late 70s shouldn't have been doing, getting themselves into all kinds of trouble, and it kind of builds and builds and builds until it explodes during the climax of the film, and it has a pretty good payoff, I must say. It's real short film, only about 95 minutes, so it gets in and gets out, but it's well done, and I've always enjoyed it, and I had the Warner Brothers DVD for many years, and was glad that I picked up the Arrow a couple of months ago or whatever, so I've had it, and didn't get a review copy of the new Shout Factory edition, but I hear that the transfer is pretty identical. There are a few extras that appeared on the Arrow edition that aren't on this one, and vice versa. But, you know, it's apples and oranges. If you have the Arrow one, you may want to just keep that one and just move along. But if you don't, I would certainly say pick up the Shout Select edition of Over the Edge. It's worth your dollars, as they say. So a couple of Steelbooks here. Shivers, David Cronenberg Shivers, being issued in a Steelbook by Lionsgate. I can't remember if you picked this one up at some point. Or I know
I
we
did
watched
not,
it.
But I know we watched it a couple years back, and I was not super impressed from what I remember. It's an interesting premise, but it just didn't work for me.
Yeah, it's well, every director's got to start somewhere, and I remember
watching. No, I respect it for what it is.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, he did another film similar to this called Rabid 2 years after this, and it's has a similar theme and a similar plot. Both of these were video store. Video store staples, I guess you would say. And my local video store that was right around the corner that I did most of my trading with back in the day, as it were, they had Shivers. And I think it had several different titles. And I think the version they had was called They Came From Within. So I knew who David Cronenberg was because I was a teenager when The Fly came out, and Dead Ringers and The Dead Zone, all those came out in the 80s. And so, you know, I was well aware of David Cronenberg. So I said, let me go back and check out his earlier work. And I remember renting They Came From Within, or AKA Shivers. And I enjoyed it as a teenager. Now that I'm older, I can see some of the flaws of the film, but I really enjoyed it way back when, about 40 some years ago. And Rabid, I also enjoyed quite a bit as well. So those, but I always kind of get those, I kind of lump those two together because they're very similar in themes and previously issued on Blu-ray from Lionsgate, now just being reissued as a steelbook. Nothing new on the as far as the extras or the transfers or anything. Brawl in Cell Block 99, and that stars Vince Vaughn. That's it's pretty much the title tells you what you need to know. And it's an RLJ Entertainment release. It's from director S. Craig Zoller, who also wrote and directed Bone Tomahawk with Kurt Russell a couple of years before that. It's a pretty good movie. It's a prison break film, as you would expect. But it's a good one. It's about a former boxer turned drug runner landing in a prison battleground after a deal gets deadly. And Vince Vaughn turning in a pretty good performance there. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure that's something I'm clamoring to return to, but it's a pretty good film, pretty solid. Little Monsters is being issued in a steelbook edition. That's a horror comedy, I guess you would call it, from the 80s, 1989. This is a Lionsgate release, of course. And I don't think I ever saw this. It just didn't look like my kind of thing. It's starring Fred Savage, Howie Mandel, Daniel Stern, and I think Terry Rossio and Ted Elliott. Either one or both of those wrote the Pirates of the Caribbean films, I believe. So, yeah, can't recall, but I believe they were the scripters of those. But anyway. A steelbook edition for Little Monsters from 1989. And a couple of Kino releases here, and these are all reissues. I had actually gotten review copies of these years ago when they first came out, and still have them. Nothing new except a little new packaging, and I think these were maybe BD-25 discs, which means the transfers, you know, there wasn't quite as much room for the transfers to breathe, and so these have been reissued on BD-50 discs, which gives you more of a bit rate, but these are all good titles. A Fistful of Dynamite is from director, the director of the Man with No Name trilogy. That would be Sergio Leone, and this was made after his Once Upon a Time in the West. I think it might have been the first film he made after that. Rod Steiger, James Coburn. It's about greedy bandits and Republican Army explosives expert on the lam from the British, and it's a Italian Western type stuff, but it's good of its type. Fistful of Dynamite. The Long Riders was the next film that was made by the director of The Warriors, which I know you previously picked that up. This is Walter Hill's follow-up to The Warriors, and it's a Western and a very good one, I would say, and quite violent during its final section of the movie. And the interesting thing about this movie is he cast real life brothers in the roles, in the film, like David Carradine, Keith Carradine, Robert Carradine, James Keach, Stacy Keach, Dennis and Randy Quaid, yada, yada, yada. The whole cast is filled with real brothers, which kind of gives it an interesting dynamic. But if you like Walter Hill, which I do, and this was, like I said,
definitely one I'm interested in.
Yeah, you should. You should definitely check it out. And, of course, I have it, so you can obviously borrow mine at some point. It's definitely worth it for anybody who has not seen The Long Riders. It's a solid follow-up to The Warriors. And then the next year he did Southern Comfort, which was also recently released on... Vinegar Syndrome. Vinegar Syndrome, yeah. So a lot of Walter Hill going around here of late. Death Rides a Horse is another Western, this starring Lee Van Cleef and John Philip Law. Of course, Lee Van Cleef was in Escape from New York and many other films. But it's, you know, it's a revenge thriller, Italian style. I think it's an Italian film. 1967, this is, like I said, a reissue of a previous release. And then The Lion in Winter, which is that stars Katharine Hepburn and Peter O'Toole. Katharine Hepburn actually won the Academy Award for this film, and she actually tied with Barbara Streisand. I think it may have been the first time that two actresses tied. They both were awarded the Academy Award. Barbara Streisand for Funny Girl and Katharine Hepburn for The Lion in Winter. It's based on a stage play, and it's about the three sons and their struggle to win their father's favor, as well as his crown of King Henry II, and his queen engage in a battle of royal wits that pits elder son Richard against his brothers. So, this is a very good film, directed by Anthony Harvey, and also starring Anthony Hopkins and Timothy Dalton, believe it or not. So, yeah, it's so The Lion in Winter, like I said, I had the previous release, didn't get the new one, but it's a good film and an Oscar winner for a good reason. So, yeah, so we'll move along to March 12th, and this is where we get into some conversation pieces here. I guess we'll just, the most anticipated titles probably of this entire year. I know we're only 3 months into the year, but these have been requested.
Potentially last year.
Yes. We thought we were going to get them at the tail end of last year, but we didn't quite make it in time. And so they finally were released. The James Cameron trio, we'll call them, The Abyss, True Lies, and Aliens, all getting the first time ever 4K release. And these, there was a big kerfluffle. I think some people are still getting their copies of these because Disney and their infinite wisdom decided, there's not that much of a demand for discs, so let's just press the bare minimum. Well, you know, it's James Cameron. How could you, I don't know what they were thinking. But should we expect anything different from Disney? I don't really think so at this point. But I'll not get on that high horse and get started with that. I'll just say thank God that they are licensing their physical media out to Sony, so that maybe someone with sense enough to tie their own shoelaces can take care of business as it should be taken care of. But anyway, we'll move along. So you just recently watched Aliens, which is the one of the title in this trio that I did not get was Aliens, because the transfer has been a little controversial, shall we say, because of the employment of artificial intelligence in the transfers. That's what James Cameron chose to do, and these are his films. He made them, so I guess he can do whatever he wants to. So anyway, I'll get you to tell us a little bit about the transfer and your overall feelings about Aliens in 4K.
I watched Aliens and True Lies on 4K, and then I had the pleasure of seeing The Abyss in theaters last December. It was released for one night. And so I did see the 4K transfer, but I didn't see it on disc. So I can't necessarily speak to the disc quality of The Abyss, but I have seen them all. And I will say that if I had to rank them, and I think this is generally most people's opinions from what I've been hearing, I think The Abyss does look the best in terms of looking as a standard older film looks on 4K. It maintains the most, I would say, filmic look of the three. And then Aliens is kind of in the middle of the three. And then True Lies is the worst, if I had to say that. Not to say it necessarily looks bad, but they are, as you were saying, James Cameron does employ his, he likes his technology, and that's his using the latest and the greatest, and even developing, new technologies for his films is something that he's not doesn't shy away from. So I don't think we should be surprised in how these transfers have turned out, and I think we should be grateful that they exist. And yes, we can be upset that they don't necessarily look how we would want them to look. However, they do objectively, I think they all look pretty great. And it's just some of them don't necessarily shape up the way we would like them to be. Particularly, honoring kind of, like I said, preserving that more traditional filmic look on 4K. But I'll say Aliens, it looks very, and I just watched this last night, it looks very clean, and just it looks like it could have been shot in the past couple of years, like a brand new film. There's no grain to be seen. But I didn't really see any waxiness or no one really looked fake at any point other than like maybe two scenes that stuck out for maybe a total of 30 seconds. Or to a minute, something like that. So, Aliens for me was, I would grade it in the probably an A range of some sort. Like I said, it looks, I think, objectively great. It's just not traditionally what we're used to seeing, and so it is a little upsetting, but it's worth getting for sure. And it's chock full of special features, which I haven't watched, but because I just watched the film last night. But it does have a lot to. I think there's three discs in it, so. There's a lot to dig into there, and obviously it's a great film, so definitely a recommendation on Aliens. And then True Lies, I had never seen before, but it being a James Cameron and Arnold Schwarzenegger film, I thought I couldn't go wrong. And I do like it, I enjoy it. However, it wasn't what the hype had built it up to be for me. And I think there's really just, in terms of content, that the film itself, there's the subplot in the middle. That really just drags the film down, where Arnold's trying to figure out if Jamie Lee Curtis's character is cheating on him, and it's the beginning and the end are the strongest parts of the film for me, and that's really where James Cameron, like his signature action, kind of shines through. And so yeah, and Bill Paxton, his character in the middle, is great, but he just doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the movie for me. But it is still a good movie, and like I said, it does have the almost, there's a couple scenes where there's some people that almost look like video game characters in a sense. And I think, like I said, the consensus is the True Lies transfer is the worst of the three. I think it's very bright, and it's almost like someone has a spotlight on every scene. And particularly when they're indoors, there's a lot of like blue fluorescent lights, I guess, and that's where it really stands out to me. But and then, like I said, I haven't watched The Abyss on physical disc, but I remember seeing it in theaters, and I thought it looked great. And a lot of people, or a couple people, complained there's a scene towards the end where I'm not sure if it's CGI or not, but there's a scene towards the end where that some of the digital effects I don't think quite held up as well, and they just looked odd on 4K, is what the consensus was there. But I didn't particularly see that, but that is something people have said. And I did actually get to watch one of the bonus features on The Abyss the other night, which is Under Pressure, Making the Abyss, which I think you've talked about or seen at
Yeah,
some
it's been a
point because it
long
was on the
time.
DVD. Yeah, it's an hour-long documentary on the making of the film, and it's really just wild that this film was made and the process that everybody had to go through. And how long it took, and the amount of times someone almost died or drowned on set. And obviously, I knew it was filmed underwater, but it didn't occur to me that the actors actually had to be, like in scuba suits on oxygen while filming. And another thing I learned is they actually took out the noise that the suits make, because obviously they're helping you breathe and they make noise. They have respirators. The noise that the suits make, they digitally took that out post-production because it was just so annoying, and they like showed a clip of what the movie would have been like with that in there, and I thought that was kind of funny, but just a little tidbit there. But yes, it was a really good documentary, and I do plan on rewatching this pretty soon to see the disc, but overall, they're all recommendations for me. Like I said, I think the Abyss work looks the best from what I haven't watched the disc yet, but I have seen the transfer. Aliens looks great, but does look very clean and just pristine. And then True Lies, it does kind of have a few waxy and almost video game-ish scenes that stand out more so than Aliens. There's only a couple instances in Aliens where that's the case. But yeah, I don't know how you align with those thoughts or not.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. Now, Aliens, I obviously can't attest to, but True Lies, yeah, it's just hit and miss. I mean, some scenes are spectacularly sharp, and to the point where it's just, you really can't believe how sharp it is. Maybe overly sharp, but then some scenes are definitely a product of the AI. You can see the waxiness mm-hmm. that comes through, and I hadn't seen this film probably in close to 20 years, and I had forgotten about that subplot in the middle, to tell you the truth, the one with Bill Paxton, and it's kind of silly. It just doesn't really, it's kind of a sitcom style hygiene, mm-hmm. I guess you would say, and it doesn't, I mean, I understand it's needed to get you, to bridge the gap, to get you from one story set piece to another, but it doesn't quite work, and the
I think there could have been a better way to go about that, but
for sure it's overlong, and mm-hmm. as a result of that subplot, and the 2 hours and 20 minutes is really a long sit for that film, but B+, I would give it, 3 stars out of 4 or something like that. It's certainly entertaining. It has its moments. The end sequence where they're, the bridge blows up and all that, that's always been entertaining. And so, there's and the opening set piece, too, where they establish things between Arnold and, it's and his co-workers or whatever. That's interesting. So, The Abyss, I did watch that, and the transfer on it is very, very sharp, again, but I didn't really detect a whole lot of waxiness. It does, it's, like I said, there's a lot of detail on display in the transfer, and the audio on all of these, though, is pretty flawless, I would say. There's no complaint to be made about the audio tracks on any of these. I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about that. Obviously, with my 7.1 system, they really gave them a workout, so no complaints there.
The audio sounded good for me, too. I have a simulated Dolby Atmos soundbar, so 5.1. But your setup's obviously better to speak to the audio. But
yeah,
sounded
great
on my end, too.
Yeah, it was no complaints in that department. So, I would say maybe... C+ on the video on True Lies, probably an A- on The Abyss. Those would be my video grades, and a solid A on audio tracks on both of those. So it's a mixed bag, but hey, at least we've got them in 4K, and mm-hmm. it's the first time ever in anamorphic. I don't know why anybody would complain, because at least you're getting them anamorphically for the first time ever, and so. Yeah, I'm just glad to have them, finally, after all this time. So, yeah. And speaking of Disney, since they control the 20th Century Fox brand, Poor Things is another Disney release. The recent Oscar winner, starring Emma Stone, of course, Mark Ruffalo. I think you liked this pretty well, didn't you?
I think I give it about a 3.5 out of 5 is what I gave it. I like it. I think... it should have won the Oscars. It won for sure. I know it won a bunch of technical awards, and definitely just like the world building and the design of the environment was great. But I think for me it was a bit overlong, and I think at its core the premise is it kind of just beats the same. It has a single point it's trying to make, and I think that it just takes it a little long to kind of get that point across, is what I'm trying to say. Emma Stone definitely should have won Best Actress. There's a lot to like about the film, but could have been trimmed up a little, edited a little bit well, or a little bit better. Like I said, there's just a few complaints, but it's a good, worth a watch, for sure.
Yep, I would totally agree. Yep, no complaints on that one. Yeah, I didn't get the Blu-ray release because Disney doesn't furnish me with any review product. They haven't for years, but hey, whatever, you know. I guess they don't need me. But anyway, so Kung Fu Panda has been released in 4K. That's a universal release. I never saw these films. I can't remember if you did or not. But I hear the quality is good on this, and I'm sure it probably is.
I think I watched the first one. I've only seen the first one, I'm pretty sure. And I think I watched it when I was like 7. So can't really speak to it. I don't remember necessarily liking it. And the fact that there was three more when I was little and I never watched them tells me that I didn't like it that much. So, but people love it. So, and the fourth one just came out. So
Yeah, it's
if it's for you, I guess it's, a good pickup.
that's right. That's right. Who's to complain? Well, yeah, there are a couple of other releases here. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, the underperforming DC entry from last December. I didn't bother to see it. Not my kind of thing. I'm sure it's, again, the quality must be probably pretty impeccable, I would say. It's a Warner Brothers release. It's out there if you want it. Wish. The recent animated film from another Disney a title being issued in a steelbook 4K and a standard edition as well. And then we have the Looney Tunes Collector's Choice Volume 3, which is a these collections keep getting longer and longer, which I guess is a good thing. I think the first one was like 2 hours 20 minutes, and the second one was like 2 hours 45, and this latest one is 2 hours 57 minutes. And you get
Wow.
25 cartoons here for the first time on Blu-ray, spanning 30 years, 1934 to 64. And there are a lot of rarities here. Some of these are a little on the more obscure side, but the great thing about this is a lot of these cartoons have never been issued before. I don't think any of them have ever been issued on a high definition format, and they're wonderfully restored. Some of the titles that are included are A Feud There Was, China Jones, Cinderella Meets Fella Dumb Patrol, Egghead Rides Again, Elmer's Pet Rabbit, Hobo Bobo, Honeymoon Hotel, Hop, Skip, and a Chump, The Mouse on 57th Street, I Only Have Eyes for You, Mexican Joyride, Riff Raffy Daffy. You know, all the main characters are represented here, but no extras, but you know, that's fine when you consider that it's 2 hours and 57 minutes worth of classic cartoons. So, hopefully they're hoping to do a fourth one pretty soon from what I'm hearing. So hopefully people will keep buying these and that will happen. So I wanted to mention Arrow's, they continue mining the Paramount catalog, and they have mined the Paramount catalog once again for The Shootist, which was the final film for John Wayne. And this is a new 4K, I think it's a 2K remaster, but it really looks good. I didn't actually sit down and watch the whole movie. I just put it on to do a quality check and see what it looks like. But it's really, it's well done remastering. It was the final film for John Wayne. Again, James Stewart teaming up with him in this one as well. Ron Howard in this one and Lauren Bacall too. And it's about an aging gunfighter who finds out that he has a cancer which is terminal. The doctor he goes get a second opinion. Doctor confirms what the other says. And he has a month, maybe two left. Takes a room in a boarding house, just trying to spend his last days in peace. But he can't seem to get the peace he wants. There are all kinds of intrusions from people who just won't let him live out his final days. So anyway, it's a good film directed by Don Siegel. I think they had some. I think there was a tumultuous production. I don't think John Wayne and Don Siegel got along very well. And there's a featurette here that supposedly tells a lot about that. So yeah, there's several featurettes. Like I said, it's a good set if you are a fan of The Shootist, and it's really hard not to be because it's a good final cinematic outing for John Wayne before his death 3 years later. So I would recommend that one. And Quigley Down Under is a Western with Tom Selleck that got the 4K treatment from Shout Select. I didn't get a review copy of this one. I never got around to seeing it, but I know it has its fans. Ferrari, which I think you attempted to watch but really couldn't get into it, that just got a Blu-ray release, Michael Mann's latest, about a chapter in the life of the creator of the famed car, as it were. It has a pretty amazing crash-up during the last half hour. That was the best part of the film for me. The problem I had with the film was it was more about his romantic entanglements than it was about the actual cars that he created and all that, and got bogged down in those subplots, and I didn't really like that aspect of it. And there were several biopics that had that same problem, and another one was the Leonard Bernstein film that came out with Bradley Cooper. So
Napoleon recently.
Yeah, Napoleon had the same problem. So yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix. So.
Yeah, those all had that same problem.
I think it's a commonality.
I think so, yeah. So the recent comedy, Anyone But You, that has been released on Blu-ray, that's I believe that's a Sony Pictures, yep. Mm-hmm. That I didn't see it, but it did pretty good business, and seems like a lot of people liked it, so I don't know. The Running Man, you didn't pick that up, did you? The Lionsgate, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I know you're a fan of this one.
I did not, but I'll be getting it eventually.
Yep, that's that would be a good first. I don't know if it's been out on 4K before, but it's in a steelbook. Yeah, I was thinking it had, but yeah. Anyway.
Might be a re-release, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, Stephen King's The Shining has been issued. This is the miniseries version of the, Stephen King was famously not a fan of the Stanley Kubrick film. So he always wanted another adaptation of The Shining done. And so he got his wish with this made-for-ABC television adaptation, which ran, I think, a total of 8 hours. He wrote the script, and it was directed by Mick Garris. This new set has 11 additional scenes, audio commentaries by Stephen King and Mick Garris and cast members, and it's a new 2K scan from The Interpositive. I don't think The Shining miniseries is, a lot of people are kind of down on it. It's a little, it definitely feels, you can feel the length of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's some things that could have been excised plot wise, but you know, overall it's not bad. I give it a B+, I would say, in terms of the actual film itself. And the transfer doesn't look bad. They did the best they could with it, I don't think it's.
And it has the hedges moving. So
yeah, that's true. Well, those have not aged very well. The digital effects that were on display way back then, just they really don't hold up. So anyway, but The Shining is out courtesy of Scream Factory, and I'm glad that it is. So a couple of Criterion titles here. All That Money Can Buy. I remember being forced to watch this in high school. It's an adaptation of the Devil and Daniel Webster short story by Stephen Vincent Benet. I think it was in an English class. They made us read the story, and then they trotted out a VHS tape of this film. I remember thinking it's about a man that sells his soul to the devil with a hardworking farmer trying to make an honest living. Everything goes bad for him, and he sells his soul for 7 years of good fortune, and of course, bad things do happen. This is a new 4K digital restoration, and it's been released in Blu-ray and 4K formats. There's an audio commentary here by the film historian Bruce Eder and Stephen C. Smith, who's the biographer of composer Bernard Herrmann, who did most of the scores for Alfred Hitchcock's filmography, of course. It's a new restoration demonstration here. And there's differences between the original 1941 version and the 1943 re-release version, a trailer. So, yeah. Devil and Daniel Webster, a.k.a. All That Money Can Buy, getting a 4K and Blu-ray release. Just a Blu-ray release. I'm sorry, not a 4K. Just 4K digital restoration, but a Blu-ray release. All the beauty and the bloodshed, rather, is a it's a documentary from Laura Poitras, and it's about the Mission of Pain, an advocacy group that the director founded to raise awareness about the billionaire Sackler family's integral role in the ongoing crisis of opioid overdoses. And it was well reviewed. There's a new interview with the director and two conversations from the New York Film Festival featuring this director. It's a Blu-ray edition and a DVD edition. So all the beauty and the bloodshed. There's a new documentary, fairly new, 2022, 2 years old, but getting a first-time ever Blu-ray release, Icons Unearthed, Star Wars, which is a behind-the-scenes documentary about the creation of Star Wars. It's six parts. And my frequent guest on my podcast, Ray Morton, is a guest. He's prominently featured in this documentary. I know that for a fact. I haven't gotten around to watching it, but I know that he was extensively interviewed for this. So I need to see it for that reason, for no other reason. But it is actually very well reviewed. They say it's well done, so I've heard. And you know, there's a lot of factoids in there that have kind of people may not be aware of. And there's a lot of deleted footage that is on the as bonus features on this. So Icons Unearthed, that's a Mill Creek release. This documentary on the making of Star Wars. So, Brain Donors. That's one of the Kino titles that was released this month. This is one that I was not aware of, actually. Somehow I missed it when it came out back in 1992, or maybe I was aware of it and just had forgotten. Anyway, it's scripted by Pat Proft, who was a co-writer on a lot of the Zucker Brothers films, like the Naked Gun films and all of those type things. So I thought, you know, I generally respond to his humor. And it's a quasi-remake of A Night at the Opera, the Marx Brothers film. And the film is very much in the spirit of the Marx Brothers. The humor is very similar to what you would find in those films. It takes a lot of guts to try to remake a Marx Brothers film. But, you know, watching it, you know, for the first half hour, I wasn't really laughing that much. But it kind of... Eventually, it worked its way into my heart, I guess you would say, because I was laughing by the end of the movie. So I'm not going to say it's a great film, but I did laugh a couple of times, and it's one that I definitely want to keep and put on my shelf because I probably want to return to it eventually, and I think I might laugh a little bit more if I revisited it. So Brain Donors, and it's basically just about a ambulance-chasing lawyer played by John Turturro, who... this rich lady wants to found a ballet company, so he takes on the task of doing this, and hilarity ensues, as they say. So anyway, Brain Donors, featuring an audio commentary by the director, Dennis Dugan, and an audio commentary by the film journalist, Stacey Lane Wilson. Really good transfer on this, by the way, and it's just a Blu-ray release only. And The President's Analyst, yeah, we had to talk about that one. It's funny because... this is a title that you were with me. I picked it up in the pawn shop years ago. Never watched the DVD, and now it came out on Blu-ray, and so I decided to finally check it out. And it's, you know, it's about, you know, a psychoanalyst who gets the job of treating the president, and it's played by James Coburn, the psychoanalyst is. And then they find out that he has all these secrets about the president, that and so a bunch of spies are after him, trying to kill him, and... you know, it's a solid premise, but it's not executed in a way that really gelled with my sensibilities, to tell you the truth. I just didn't really respond to it, and the longer it went on, the worse it got. And by the last 30 minutes of the film, I was really, really ready for this to end. So it's a great transfer, though, from a 4K scan of the 35mm camera negative. And features a commentary by film historian and writer Julie Kurgo, whom I'm friendly with on Facebook. She used to do the essay booklets for the Twilight Time releases, and she's really a real talent, so and always knowledgeable. So it's a good commentary. And a commentary by novelist and critic Tim Lucas, whom I'm also friendly with on Facebook. So they were both involved with the extras here. Theatrical trailer, and that's what you get from The President's Analyst from 1967, Kino Lorber. Another Kino Lorber release is The Lincoln Conspiracy. Now, I would never tell you that this is a great film, but it's an interesting film, and it's the title pretty much tells you what you need to know, that it's you know, it's speculative fiction about what may have happened in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It's the real story of why Lincoln was killed. A vast conspiracy and cover-up containing secrets kept hidden for over 100 years. And that's what they say now, closer to 150 years, I would say. But anyway, the film was made in 1977. This is a film that was prominent in our local theater, and it's from the Sun Classic Pictures. company who did a lot of these speculative fiction documentary type things. They did In Search of Noah's Ark. They did Beyond and Back, which was about life after death. I saw pretty much all of these in a theater when they came out because they were all G-rated and they were safe, you know. And, you know, I was a curious little kid when I was growing up. And, you know, I was interested in all these mysteries, you know, that were unexplained. And so this was kind of catnip for me when these movies came out. They would advertise them, and I was, oh, I got to see that one. And there was the Bermuda Triangle was another one they did. And this is the first one that I'm aware of that has been given a Blu-ray release. In fact, this film was never even released on DVD, much less a Blu-ray. I actually had a 16mm print of this at one point, believe it or not, that I picked up pretty cheaply and eventually resold it because I was getting rid of all my prints, film prints that I had. You know, but it's just good to have it on Blu-ray. The transfer is pretty solid. There's a commentary by the director, James L. Conway, moderated by the film historian Howard S. Berger. I have interviewed Mr. Conway before. He also directed a lot of Star Trek The Next Generation episodes, by the way. And he directed the bulk of these Sun Classic Pictures. And he would tell you, he told me anyway, that he wasn't, you know, he would say these aren't high-quality films. But I was learning as I went, so bear in mind when you see these films. But the cast is impressive. There's Bradford Dillman and Whit Bissell and quite a few other character actors that you'll recognize. And it's narrated ominously by Brad Crandall, who narrated by Brad Crandall, who narrated all of these Sun Classic Pictures. So I hope that this is that people buy this and they release more of these because I'd sure like to see more of them just for nostalgia's sake, if nothing else. So just had to talk a little bit about the Lincoln Conspiracy. And a DVD release, DVD only, is What the Hell Happened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears. It's a documentary about the popular group of the late 60s that kind of faded from... Their popularity came and went very quickly, and this movie explains why. Because the government conspired to send them on a tour. They were considered to be a little bit on the left of center, I guess you would say, during the Vietnam War, and they kind of wanted to get them to quiet down. So they sent them on a tour of Europe, and basically their career never recovered after this. And the movie explains why, and it's kind of like a conspiracy thriller, and it has some elements of that. It's really interesting if you ever wanted to know what happened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And that's the name of the film, What the Hell Happened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears, directed by John Scheinfeld, who also did some terrific music documentaries, including one about Harry Nilsson a couple of years ago. So that's from, let's see, the company releasing that is Freestyle Home Entertainment. And Impulse is a William Shatner film that was released in a limited edition from Grindhouse Releasing. And this is where you get to shine and talk a little bit about this because you actually took this one in. This is a notoriously hard to find film from exploitation film from 1974. So tell us a little bit about Impulse starring William Shatner.
Yeah, well, my purchase of Impulse was an impulse of itself, but had not seen it before, but I'm a pretty big Star Trek and I guess a William Shatner fan by default. And so I heard some people talking about it and obviously saw it was coming up to be released. So I checked it out and basically it's a story. William Shatner plays a serial killer or just a deranged man who is involved in some nefarious activity and basically is ripping off widows, and he just kind of ends up getting involved romantically with all these random widows that he comes across and using them until he no longer has use for them. And the story, it kind of sets up his character, and then you see him get involved with this one particular family, and the widow that he gets involved with has a daughter, and the daughter's very suspicious of him the whole time. And there's a lot of it's about their dynamic, and she finds things out about him, and her mom doesn't believe her, and it's really great acting from William Shatner, in my opinion. In terms of his range, he plays a really different kind of character from what I'm used to seeing, and he's like the sleazy and kind of scumbag and player that's just going from woman to woman, and he's, like I said, mentally disturbed, and you see why that is in like the first 5 minutes of the movie. And basically there's all these things that will just set him off, and he'll have outbursts, and it's some of the outbursts I think you'll find kind of funny unintentionally, but they're good and serious at the same time, but they're also kind of unintentionally funny, looking back on it. But yeah, if you're a fan of William Shatner, I definitely check it out. And there's some interesting camera work in a particular scene. I don't want to. It involves a car. I'll say that. Don't want to say too much, but and there's also you get a cool cameo here, Harold Oddjob Sakata, who's in this from who's in Goldfinger, and he's in the film for a little while, and he plays an interesting character as well. That's all I'll say. And yeah, like I said, William Shatner is terrorizing this family, terrorizing unbeknownst to the widow, but as he's trying to embed himself into their family. And there's a ton of special features as well in this. I think it's a 4K restoration. It says created from rare archival film elements. So they didn't have the original print, and they basically, from what I'm understanding, pieced the 4K transfer together with whatever they could find. And so it's the best of what they could find. And I think and it's on the Blu-ray, so it's a 4K scan, but it's just Blu-ray. It's a good transfer. I mean, I think it has a very 70s look to it. So I think it keeps alive what the film looked like then. And obviously it's nowhere as clean or pristine as, say, the James Cameron 4Ks, but that's probably for the good. So not the best transfer you'll ever see, but once again, the elements just weren't there, but it is a good transfer. And I enjoyed the movie, probably partially biased there, but I think it was it's a short film. It's only like 80 something minutes, I think. Yeah, 87 minutes. And tons of special features. Like I said, there's, I think, two. But there's special features on the one with the disc with the movie, and then there's a whole separate disc with just special features as well. And there's also two other whole movies included in this set. So that are also directed by William Griffey, who directed this, and which I checked out, and they on Letterboxd, and they don't really have great reviews, but if you're a fan of him, you do get three of his movies in this set. So it's definitely worth a pickup for that too. And yeah, I watched one of the special features is a 30-minute documentary that chronicles William Shatner's life in between, basically when he stopped doing Star Trek on the TV show when it was canceled, and when he started doing Star Trek again for the movie, for the motion picture. And so it's kind of almost like a decade-long time span, and it's covering his work through the 70s mostly. And a lot of the work that he was doing, all these off-the-wall projects like Impulse, because he didn't want to be boxed into that Captain Kirk type role from what he said, and they had this historian talking. And then he just simply was needing the money, and he had gone through a divorce and was basically taking kind of whatever work was coming down the pike that sounded interesting. So it really is interesting to see the kinds of movies that he did, and they kind of go through them all. And it's a lot of movies like Impulse, and I've kind of he did a couple TV movies. There was one with, I think, I can't remember his name, but something Wildcats.
Pray for the Wildcats. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That one sounded interesting. I need to check out. And then there was one more that I think had a sci-fi element, but anyways, there was a couple of movies that were kind of off the wall and not what I would have expected from William Shatner. So definitely want to check those out now. But yeah, I think it's definitely worth it if you're a fan, or if you're a fan of, I guess, 70s thriller, horror, or like I said, William Griffey. It's a good release, and it's limited. There was only like 60 copies when I ordered mine on Grindhouse releasing, but I think it is still available on Amazon, and I don't know how many copies they'll have, but it's available.
Well, that's a nice report on Impulse. I was very curious about it. I was supposed to get a review copy, and they ran out, as luck would have it. So, you know, things.
Yep, I must have purchased your review copy.
You must have, yeah. It must have been what happened. But yeah, I look forward to borrowing yours and watching it myself, because I have the William Griffey box set from a couple of years back that Arrow did that has some of his other stuff in it. And probably the earliest film I saw it when I was about 10 years old, I guess, was a film called Stanley, which is about a guy who trains snakes to kill people, which came out the year after Willard, which is about a guy who trains rats to kill people. So something going on around then. But, he's like an embittered Vietnam vet or something. But I remember seeing that when I was about 10, and I was always curious about his work after that. So, and it's funny you mentioned Prey for the Wildcats. That was actually released by Kino. I don't know if it's gone out of print or not.
Yeah, I did see that.
I think it may have gone out of print. Because
I don't think it is, but it's pretty pricey.
Because
I checked it out.
I think what happened with that, it was an ABC, it was an ABC made for TV movie, and Disney controls ABC, and they didn't renew their licensing agreement with Kino for their ABC movie of the week titles, like The Night Stalker and The Night Strangler and Trilogy of Terror and The Day After. So all those are kind of pricey, I think.
The other one was The Horror at 37,000 Feet.
Yeah. I never did see that, but I'm aware of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pray for the Wildcats.
I was going to say Pray for the Wildcats is very interesting because it's Andy Griffith is the villain, and he's chasing William Shatner and Robert Reed, who played the dad on the Brady Bunch, and I'm trying to think who there's three of them. Anyway, they're his co-workers, and he basically is trying to kill them. He gets them out in the desert so he can kill all three of them. And it's like a fight for survival. But it's interesting casting, and seeing Andy Griffith trying to kill William Shatner is pretty interesting for sure. I like it. It's good. I've got a copy around here somewhere, I think. But, yep. The Color Purple being issued in 4K. This is the recent Oscar nominee remake musical version of The Color Purple. Again, not for me, so I didn't bother to see it. Maybe great, I don't know, but I'm a big fan of the original Color Purple, and a musical version just did not sound like something I wanted to see. But anyway, Warner Brothers has released it, so if you're interested. The Whip and the Body is a Mario Bava Italian horror film starring Christopher Lee, and that is a Kino release, and it features new commentary. I think this might be the first time ever for The Whip and the Body, but yeah, this is a Kino release. The Immediate Family is a film I did get a chance to see this one. I got a digital copy of it. I didn't get the actual physical copy, but very good. It's a follow-up to The Wrecking Crew from a couple of years ago, made by director Danny Tedesco, whose father was Tommy Tedesco, who played the guitar on a lot of the most famous recordings of the 60s. Also some TV themes. When you hear the theme from Bonanza and you hear the guitar playing at the beginning of it, that's his dad, Tommy Tedesco. And so, and he was I think he plays, well, so many records that he played on. If you just Google him, you'll see he's amazing. And so he was one of the first members of the Wrecking Crew, which is a group of studio musicians that played on the Monkees and the Beach Boys and so many other recordings of the 60s that we all know, Gary Lewis and the Playboys. And so he was one of the first ones to go, and his son wanted to make something so that the work of these musicians wasn't forgotten. So he made The Wrecking Crew, which is terrific. I have it. There's a Blu-ray of it, which has about 6 hours of bonus interviews, which is pretty amazing. This is a follow-up to it. The Immediate Family is basically the studio musicians who played on the 70s albums. And the ones who played on like the Jackson Browne albums and the James Taylor albums and Carole King and all that. And so it's kind of like the next chapter. That's why it's called The Immediate Family. And very, very good. Very, very well done. I really enjoyed it. I would like to eventually get a Blu-ray copy of this, and hopefully will But yes, if you're a fan of The Wrecking Crew and you've seen it, it's a must. You got to see The Immediate Family. It's a, I think this is an MPI release, I believe it is. Just want to double check that. Magnolia Pictures. So yes, certainly worth picking up if you're a fan of that. So we'll move on to, we're getting there, March 19th. The Ring Trilogy, we both talk about this, I guess. This has been issued by Scream Factory as part of their upgrades that they've been doing of classic horror films. And this is a first time ever, 6-disc set, all three of the Ring films. You get a Blu-ray and a 4K version of both films in each set, and a few new extras, and a lot of the archival extras. You had not seen any of the Rings films, so we watched them over the weekend, and so I'll let you talk a little bit about those as well.
Yeah, well, definitely like the first one better than the second one, which I think is the consensus as well. I enjoy the premise and I the gimmick of, you know, there being this evil videotape that, you know, you watch and then you're supposed to die in 7 days. And it's built, it is a horror movie and it's billed as a horror movie, but I know I was telling you, I feel like it's almost more, and I think the first one more so than the second one, but I feel like it's more of a detective story. And because the main character is a reporter and they're trying to figure out, because they watch the tape and they have 7 days until they're supposed to die, and so they're trying to figure out what they can do to stop that, obviously. And it's really about them trying to figure out what is the origins of this tape. And, you know, there's some scary stuff that happens here and there in between, but it's there's really more substance than just, you know, jump scares or anything like that. There's some scary visuals for sure. And yeah, with the girl that comes out of the TV with the long dark hair, and also just the kid in general, her son in the movie. I don't know the actor's name, but he just creeps me out as well, and he's not even supposed to be scary. So in terms of the transfer, I think the first movie, and I think it's just in the way that it was shot and the way it's supposed to look, it looks very 2000s, I'll say. And it has this like dark drab look to it, and almost like a green tint to the film consistently. And I think that's just how it's shot. And there's a lot of like overcast scenes, and there's clouds, and it's not supposed to be bright. It's like I said, it's like a detective story, and really I think it's to like get you in that mood of like, oh no, we have, you know, 7 days to live. But the second one is almost in contrast, like very just bright and vibrant, and which I guess is supposed to align with kind of the theme of the second movie, which of the characters kind of having a new start from the first movie. But I think the second one, visually, just because of how bright it is, and it takes place, there's a lot of daytime scenes that are kind of in the open sunlight. They just look very stunning compared to the first one, and pretty immaculate. But the second one, in terms of the film, the plot, they kind of abandon the gimmick of the whole you have to watch this videotape to summon this entity that will kill you in 7 days, and they completely just ditch the videotape as the a motivating factor for the film. And they just break their own rules, and there's a lot of plot holes, and you kind of just have to suspend disbelief a lot more times than I find I would like to do. So second one, it's still worth a watch, but it's not on the same level as the first one, I'll say.
Well, that's a good summation, I would say. And we didn't watch the third one, a full confession, because it
yeah, we
really
did
wasn't
not.
That great. but I'm sure the quality's great. I mean, it was made in 2017, so more modern productions are going to look awesome. So, you know, they're usually flawless, so I mean, I'm sure it's fine. But yeah, I would tend to agree with your assessment of the transfers, and the audio was solid on both.
Mm-hmm.
No complaints in that department. So yeah, if you're a fan of the Ring films, this is probably worth picking up, I would say, you know, because you get them all in one set, and it's a sturdy box, like the ones that Screen Factory has been putting out here of late. They're doing a really good job with the packaging. So, yes, the Ring Collection, it's called. So The Manchurian Candidate is a 4K release from Kino Lorber. That's the 2003 remake directed by Jonathan Demme, who was still trying to find his footing after winning the Oscar for Silence of the Lambs. He never did quite do that. He made some decent films, but nothing that ever rivaled the success of Silence of the Lambs after he won the Oscar with that. And this is it's kind of risky when you want to remake The Manchurian Candidate because, you know, it's a classic film, the original in 1962, but it's not bad for what it is. It's kind of the same story about a political figure who's being brainwashed to commit murder, and he's a vice presidential candidate, actually. And anyway, in this one, they changed the setting from, I think the Korean War was the setting in the 1962 film. This one is the Iraq War, the Gulf War, rather. So you got Denzel Washington, Meryl Streep, Liev Schreiber, John Voight, Jeffrey Wright. Yeah, it's they could have done worse with a remake. And the transfer is solid, I would say almost impeccable with the 4K audio commentary by Demme. He's gone now, sadly. But this was also obviously archival commentary. The Enemy Within is the Inside the Manchurian Candidate, cast of the Manchurian Candidate, political pundits. Liev Schreiber screen test. So yeah, the 4K release of The Manchurian Candidate from Kino Lorber Studio Classics. And just wanted to get that out there. A couple other Kino Lorber films releases: Rent-A-Cop with Burt Reynolds and Liza Minnelli, a comedy with those two. I never did see it. I guess I should, because it just sounds... I remember when it came out, it was kind of a WTF thing. It's like, what are they thinking? But anyway... nevertheless, it's a 1987 film, and I think you get a new commentary here. I did not get a review copy of this one. Target, starring Gene Hackman and Matt Dillon, is another Kino Lorber Studio Classics release. I think you had mentioned being interested in seeing this one. I did not get a review copy, but...
Yeah, I think it might be one I check out in the future.
Yep.
Sounded interesting.
Yeah, I think it got fairly decent reviews, I believe, from what I recall. Changing Lanes is another 4K release from Kino Lorber Studio Classics. This is originally a Paramount release. It's a brand new HDR Dolby Vision Master. It really looks great, almost impeccable. I did get a chance to watch this one. It's basically about two, Ben Affleck and Samuel L. Jackson. They have a little bump up in their cars. Samuel L. Jackson, basically Ben Affleck gives him a check. He's in a hurry. He says, just here's a blank check. Do what you got to do. Samuel L. Jackson insists that they do it the right way by calling the law, and he doesn't. He just takes off, gives him a blank check, and so you know, Sam Jackson's it's one thing. It goes from one bad thing to another. They're determined to one up each other and get revenge on each other for what's happened, and so it's an interesting film directed by Roger Michel, who. Was kind of on a streak there in the early 2000s, and I generally like it. It's a little implausible sometimes, because you keep asking yourself, you know, why did they do that when they could have easily done, you know, solved things by doing thus and so. But you know, if you just kind of go along with the flow, you'll enjoy it. And like I said, solid transfer. So Changing Lanes, new commentary by the archival commentary by the director. Sadly, he's gone as well. The Making of Changing Lanes featurette and the Writer's Perspective featurette and deleted scenes. So that's Kino release. Witness has been issued by Arrow in a standard edition. It was a limited edition, went out of print, but has been reissued for anybody who missed it. Keep Child's Play is another Screen Factory release. This is the 2019 reimagining of Child's Play. Definitely not quite up to the quality of the original Child's Play, but, you know, it has its moments, as they say. New 4K restoration from the original master in Dolby Vision, audio commentary with the director. You know, it's a fairly new film, 2019, so, you know, the quality is going to be pretty good. I mean, you know, with newer productions, that's just the way it is. But first time ever on 4K for the remake of Child's Play. Dark Water is the 2002. This is a horror film, Japanese horror film, from the same guy who directed the original Ring, Japanese versions of The Rings, of The Ring, which, but it was called Ringu, so it became The Ring. And he directed the second film, but this is his horror film about a single mom who moves into this apartment, and there's water dripping from the ceiling, and it's haunted by ghosts, and it's just a very slow. It didn't work for me. Did not work for me at all.
Is it Dark Water?
Yeah, it's Dark Water. Yes, yes. that probably didn't mention the title there, but yeah, it's 4K. Release of this from Arrow, Dark Water, 2002, and I just, like I said, not really a fan of this one, although it's held in high regard, but it's more of a, I don't know, a story about a single mom and her problems than it is a horror film, I would say. But anyway, yeah, it looks great. I will say that quality wise, it is impeccable. So audio video is stunning on this release. The 2013 remake of Carrie has been issued in 4K from Scream Factory. This is something maybe you can... I don't know how much of this you remember. We saw it in a theater when it came out. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah. I know who the actress is. I used to have a celebrity crush on her, but I don't remember anything about it other than obviously the premise because I've seen the original plenty of times. But... yeah, I can't really speak to it.
I remember the best thing about it was when the actual when they actually get to the sequence where Carrie unleashes her fury at in the gym. I remember mm-hmm. that being pretty stunning. But other than that, it was everything else was pretty subpar compared to the Brian De Palma original. So you know. So we'll move along. I did not get a review copy of this, but again, being a 2013 release, I'm sure the video and audio are pretty good. I wouldn't say there's any. I would say there's probably no complaints in that department. So, To Die For is being issued by Criterion. I did get a review copy of this, and it's about a weather lady played by Nicole Kidman who will do anything to get ahead in her career, up to and including murder. So she hires somebody to kill her husband. Her husband's played by Matt Dillon, and Joaquin Phoenix is the kid that she hires to kill her husband, and so things kind of. You know, take a turn for the worse, as you could expect. But this is it's a good film. I remember seeing it in 1995. It came out in the fall of the year, and I remember seeing it in a theater, and I thought it was well reviewed, but I didn't quite get on its wavelength like I'd hoped. But and I kind of felt that way this time, and I feel like it doesn't quite go dark enough. But it's written by Buck Henry, who of course famously wrote The Graduate, the screenplay for The Graduate, and co-wrote What's Up, Doc, one of my favorite comedies of all time. So, you know, and he has a part in this, a supporting role. I think it's uncredited, but yeah, it's Nicole Kidman's great in this. I mean, you can't argue with her in this film. No problem there. But it's a mixed bag. But you know, I kind of lean towards a positive review of it. It's just not quite as good as I'd hoped for. But To Die mm-hmm. For. Gus Van Sant directing this. You get first time ever in 4K, as I said. Audio commentary, about 35 minutes of deleted scenes, I believe. Audio commentary with the director and the editor, and a trailer. And so, yeah. New restoration of To Die For. Amelie is the French film from 2001, which has gotten its first ever Blu-ray release. And I'm told that the film was just a 2K remastering because they don't have the access. It was shot digitally, and back in those days, they didn't have 4K on the brain. So 2K is all they have. But Amelie is a kind of in the same style as Wes Anderson. It's very similar to that. It's a lot of mm-hmm. very twee-ish, I guess you would say. But it's... It's a visually stunning film, I would say. It's directed by Jean-Pierre Junot. And, you know, it's about Amelie and her enjoyment of simple pleasures until she discovers her goal in life is to help others. That's a simple way to put it. So it's worth seeing. It's visually splendorous, I guess you would say. Splendorific, maybe that's the word. Anyway, so a couple of Vinegar Syndrome releases here, Going South. This is, I think, Jack Nicholson's second effort as a director, coming after Drive, he said, a couple of years before that. I've never seen Going South, but it's first time ever 4K release. And Phase 4 is about super intelligent ants that colonize on a military base, I believe it is, directed by Saul Bass, who's a famous title designer for many films. Again, another 4K release. This two cuts of the film on this. I would have liked to have gotten a review copy of this, but I did not. I've never seen Phase 4, although I'm very well aware of it. Primal Fear is a Paramount release on part of their Paramount Presents line of titles. Stars Richard Gere and Ed Norton. I think Ed Norton was Oscar nominated for this. It's a thriller, and it's a pretty good one with a nice twist ending. I didn't get a review copy of this one either, but Primal Fear, getting a first-time ever 4K release. North Dallas 40 is another Kino Lower Burr Studio Classics release, getting a first-time ever 4K Ultra HD release. Stars Nick Nolte and Mac Davis, the singer Mac Davis, as Nick Nolte is a football player dealing with the pressures of being a celebrity, and it's considered to be one of the best sports films ever made, although I have not seen it, and I haven't gotten my review copy yet, but I hope to see it soon. But I hear the transfer is quite good. The audio is quite good. There are some new commentaries and featurettes. Paint Your Wagon is the Clint Eastwood musical starring Lee Marvin, Clint Eastwood, Gene Seberg, about gold prospectors, and they decide to open a brothel and all those type of shenanigans, as it were. Directed by Josh Logan. And the adaptation is by Paddy Chayefsky, who penned Network, and he won Oscars for Network, The Hospital, and Marty. This was, I don't know, I just didn't get on the wavelength of this film. I'm not a big musical guy anyway, although the transfer is terrific. The audio is terrific. It's just a little too long, two hours, 44 minutes, and it just kind of lumbers along, and the songs weren't really to my tastes, but it was interesting to see it. But if you're a fan of Paint Your Wagon, the transfer is certainly there. And The Contender was an Oscar-nominated, nominated for two Academy Awards. You might actually enjoy this. It's a, I remember seeing this in the theater in 2000, but I haven't seen it since. But I saw it when it was brand new. It's about a senator who was nominated by the president, played by Jeff Bridges, for the vice presidency. But information and disinformation about her past surfaces, putting her confirmation in jeopardy from powerful committee chair Shelley Runyon, played by Gary Oldman. And Joan Allen and Jeff Bridges both earned Academy Award nominations for their performances. There are no new extras on this release. It's a giant distribution is the name of the company. And it was a DreamWorks release originally. I'm not sure how the rights reverted to Giant. But first time ever Blu-ray release. And The Contender, directed by Rod Lurie. And then a couple of Warner Archive titles. Got some Warner Archive releases here. Money Talks, starring Charlie Sheen and Chris Tucker. It's a comedy directed by Brett Ratner. About a small-time huckster making a deal with a TV newsman for protection. I know it has a lot of fans. I never saw it. It just didn't seem like something that would interest me. But, it's... Heather Locklear also in this. So, yeah, Stand and Deliver is another Warner Archive release. This is an Oscar-nominated performance by Edward James Olmos as a... he's a math teacher who is determined to get his inner-city students to pass the calculus exam. And they're in in a neighborhood that is very underprivileged, I guess you would say. This got pretty good reviews, although I think it's not quite as good as I had always heard. The performance is good, But some of the subplots about the kids, like there's a romantic subplot about one of the two of the kids get involved with each other, and we didn't really need that in a film about kids trying to pass the calculus test. But you know, it's there's some good stuff going on here. Good performances by just about everybody on board, and I would say it's a solid B+. Stand and deliver. Good transfer. Good audio. No extras. But Warner Archive has released that from 1988. The Little Drummer Girl is a adaptation of the John le Carré spy novel. Stars Diane Keaton as a repertory actress who plays the role of her life when she's thrust onto the center stage of international espionage. Klaus Kinski is one of the Israeli operatives who recruits her to do his bidding and to capture some elusive Palestinian terrorists. Directed by George Roy Hill, who made many great films, but unfortunately this wasn't one of them. I found this one to be overlong and a little bit confusing, and just it's like they tried to cram everything that was in the novel into this film, and instead of taking just certain elements of it, they try to just, it goes, it's just like one thing right after another, and there's just too much of trying to get everything in there, and it doesn't quite work. But anyway, a nice transfer, nice audio for the Little Drummer Girl, if you are a fan of that one. Three Godfathers is John Wayne again and Pedro Armendariz. It's a remake, actually, of a 1936 film, and it's about these fugitive bank robbers wind up caring for a newborn infant of a woman they just buried, is essentially what it is. And both films have the same plot. The second version that was made in 1948 is in color, the original in black and white, but there's trailers for both films, no other extras, but Three Godfathers, a Warner Archive release, and They Drive by Night, which stars George Raft, Ann Sheridan, Ida Lupino, Humphrey Bogart. It's considered to be one of the great film noirs. It's about a feisty tale of brothers trying to make it as independent truckers, and a truck stop waitress dishing both the Daily Special and the Patter. Ida Lupino is a headstrong executive mixing business and romance with murder, and considered to be, the movie guide says it's one of the best road movies to emerge from a major studio of the 40s. This has some extras, including the story of They Drive by Night, a classic Warner Brothers short, trailer, featurettes. I did take a look at the transfer just to see what it looks like. Of course, great. It's filmed in black and white, and they do such a great job on these black and white transfers. But yeah, The Drive by Night is a Warner Archive release. And I think that might be all of the Warner Archive releases. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything here. Monk, the complete fifth season. Kino Lorber continues to release this TV show in increments, and so that's been issued. Film Noir, The Dark Side of Cinema, volume, I think, 2018, I believe it is. They keep pumping those out. So, that's, and good for them. I'm glad they do. It's good to have them putting those out. But I think, I just want to make sure I haven't missed anything here. Oh, yeah, there's a pair of silent films that Warner Archive has released also. The Boob and Why Be Good from 1926 and 1929. I didn't get review copies of these either, but just wanted to make sure everybody knew those were available. And Burial Ground has been issued on 4K from Synapse. And this is one of those Italian horror films directed by Andrea Bianchi. A professor opens a crypt and reanimates rotten zombies. The zombies attack a jet set group which is celebrating a party in a villa nearby. 1981 is the release date. I've heard of this one talked about often, but I remember seeing it in the video store, but just wasn't sure that about the quality of it, and I'm still not sure.
Sounds like a movie you'd see in the video store.
Oh yeah, you definitely did. It was always there in a large, oversized box, from what I remember. So anyway, The Burial Ground from Severin Films from 1981, 4K release for the first time ever. And I guess that will cover the March releases on 4K and Blu-ray. So we'd like to thank you for coming on again and joining us.
Yeah, glad to be a part of it.